This is a tape recorded with Louis Robson, a Belgian gentleman who was born in 1903 in Dykesville. His address is now Luxembourg, Route 2. The interview was taped in his living room on Tuesday, December the 9th, 1975, and the interviewer is Lynn McCauley. Mr. Robson, where were you born?
Here.
Here? In this house?
In this house, yeah.
Did your father buy this farm?
Yes, they bought it, but he wasn't here. They were up north. And my mother wrote to her dad to buy it, that she'd want it.
How many acres did they have?
There was 67 acres, and then they bought, when DeShadow died, they sold a 40 over there, so they bought that after. And so Grandpa bought the farm then, and when my mother came back in spring, she took over from him.
And she was already married then to your father?
Yeah, she was married.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Collins.
Collins.
C-O-L-L-I-N-S.
And they were Belgian family?
They were Belgian.
Were you as a child closer to your mother's family than to the Robsons? Did the Robsons live around here too? Or?
Not so much as the Collins. We was more with the Collins. Well, my mother was alone, and she was always saying, you know, what will I do over there? And she had her father living here, and so they all scared by God. And we were closer together, so we played more together. You see, below, a little ways from the house, there was some kind of creek. Stream, and there was a lot of fish in there, and that attracted the boys, you know, because you take like the Delwiches, they used to come for a week. That their mother was a sister to my mother, and they used to come by Grandpa for a week once a year, and that was a big week, you know. We used to go fishing. And I remember Edmund once, he was going to cross the creek in barefoot. So he takes his shoes off, and he throws them on the other side of the creek. But instead of throwing them on the other side of the creek, he threw them in the creek. And his shoes went to the bay.
Oh!
We laughed so much after, you know.
Was he in trouble?
Yes, he was in trouble. He didn't have no more shoes. And they were gone, you know. And I guess Grandpa went and followed the creek. But I don't know, I think he found one, but he didn't find the both of them. And we used to play a lot. They used to come once a year like that, see. And the relation, when they came home, they went home more by the old folks. So it got us more together on the Collins side.
You grew up speaking Walloon, and you would all speak Walloon to each other.
Yeah.
And then when you went to school, then you...
We had our English.
Were any of your teachers Belgian, or were they...
They were all Belgians, except one.
But they would force you to speak English.
Oh, they didn't want. There was had to be all English, American. They would say.
And you went to how many grades?
I went to the eighth grade. I didn't finish it, but I went in.
Was it hard for your mother to send you to school since she needed you at home, or?
No, not too hard, because after school we had to be, we wasn't running here and there, you know, we had to come home. So we were in time to help with the chores and milk and that stuff.
And how many cows did you have?
Oh, we ran up way up from 12 up to 16 at times.
How did you get interested in music, Mr. Robson?
Well, I was interested in it because I found it was something easy for me to learn, and it came easy, and I liked it. And it interests me that I was going to work to play in church.
Did they pay you to play in church?
Yes, I had $1 each time I went.
When did you start playing there?
Well, I was about 12 years old.
So that was a lot of money to a 12-year-old.
Oh, yes, it was a lot. But still, it wasn't so much money, because I was putting lots of it back into it for books and such.
And who taught you to play the organ?
The sisters taught me. I was playing a quarter, 25 cents for a half hour.
That's a lot, really.
And then I studied with Father Van den Elsen. Father Van den Elsen said, I told him, I can pay your lessons, you know, Father. I said, you don't have to do that for nothing. Well, then I'll charge you 50 cents, he said. And I went a couple years by him. I was 28 miles in a day. Usually on Saturday or Sunday. If we had a lot of work, I'd go on Sunday. And it was a walk up there, you know. I didn't have no bicycle. 13 miles. But I always had my lessons. And when I got through that book with him, he says, there's other ways that you can go ahead, you know, Louis. He says, by correspondence or something, he says. You can take a correspondence course, and whenever you got trouble, he says, you can come here, I'll help you. So then I took a correspondence course with the university. They had those then. And I think I studied 2 or 3 years with them. I went through harmony, counterpoint, fugue, and orchestration. I found it too hard. I left it too.
Did you ever write any music, Mr. Robson?
No. Well, a couple little pieces once, and I never showed it to nobody.
How did you start making violins?
Because I was very much interested in working in wood. You know, I had a chop wood. If I had a box with certain size, it was too big to suit me, I'd make it smaller in order to do some work, you know. And I always had to do. And then I went and see in town a guy who had one for sale. But he was asking too much money. I didn't have that kind of money then. So I made one better with him, and I could make one better than that. Just as good as that one. So I made my first one, which I still got. And it did turn out bad, so then I made another one. And it was still better, and I kept on that way.
What wood are they made out of? What wood?
The back and the sides are maple. And the front, that's spruce. And the older the spruce is, you know, like you cut so many years, the better it is. The wood has got to be soft and pliable in order to bring those two backs and top together to vibrate together, see.
Were many of your friends interested in music?
I had some. We started an orchestra once, but there was so many orchestras at that time, you know, that we didn't have nothing to do.
Was it unusual if you had a kermis or something like that, would you ever play in a group or just at the dances or something?
Just at the dances. Well, I played quite a few then. I remember once I was asked to go to East Cork, west of here, someplace around there, to play piano with the orchestra. The orchestra says, we ain't got no piano player, could you come tonight? I'll never forget that. Could you come tonight at East Cork? They called up, you know, the neighbors, and the neighbors came and tell me I'm always wanted on the telephone. So I says, all right, I says, I'll be there. At what time do you start? He says, around 8 o'clock, he says. So I had a car already then. So I take the car and I go there. When I get there, there was no piano.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Just had to come home.
That's all I could do was come home, see. The girls there were all, what you call that? That Bohemian Orchestra out of Luxembourg. Moloch's band. And the old guy was playing, playing trumpet, I guess. Laugh at that guy because I went to play piano and there was none.
Was your family always a Catholic family, Mr.
Yeah.
Robson?
Yeah.
Were there any other churches around here?
Yeah. There was that Villa Church in Luxor in Duval. And then there was a Protestant church in Champion and a Baptist church.
A Baptist church. What was the Protestant church in Champion? Was that the Presbyterian?
Presbyterian, yeah. And the Baptist church, that they never bothered. We never bothered each other, you know. We were such and such. And those people were always so nice. When I was small, going to the chapel for my lessons, that was on Saturday, see, and they'd go to church on Saturday then. And when I came back, they were mostly all done. And old man Wary, Bill Wary's dad, he asked me once, what are you doing there every Saturday? I used to walk with him, you know. And who are you? I told him it's a Robson. And I was related with his wife. See, his wife was a Depas and they were related. And what do you do over there? He says, I take lessons on. Or come back this way with us and we give you a cup of coffee. He'd say, they were really nice.
Did you ever see Vilat?
If I ever saw Vilat? In the church there once.
You did? Did your mother approve?
Oh, no, boy. me and Anthony Gavett and Bill Blanier, I guess. We were all cousins, you know. And on Sundays like that, we would always go on the go, but we had a walk. A couple of them had bicycles, but we didn't have. So one says, let's go to benediction. You know, they were having benediction over there. So we went in church, and the priest said a few words, and that it was all, and out we went. And after church then, we were talking and laughing over it, you know. And Vilat comes out of the church and he says, come, Vrimnok, you don't understand all of that. Come back next Sunday again, boys, he said. We didn't go back no more because we got it, you know. I don't know who found out. Somebody had a tavern across the street, I guess, told Agamex. And we were in there.
What did he look like?
Well, heavy build, chubby face. He was pretty heavy and a good talker.
What church was he with?
The Villa Church.
What denomination was that?
That's a branch of the Episcopal Church of Oshkosh.
Of Oshkosh.
Of Oshkosh, some place around. That's where their bishop stays.
Were most of the families Catholic first and then went to his church? Or?
Yes. They were mostly Catholics and they turned Vilat because it was a couple dollars cheaper a year, some of them.
Oh, I see.
And the men at that time were funny, you know. For a glass of beer, they'd go to a Protestant church, you know.
How did Vilat get money to run his church?
He was getting it. And it was mostly from strangers way outside. But I remember Uncle Louis telling me once that Vilat showed him a pack of this in his hands of $600 in cash and checks. And he had got that in a week. That I remember. Because it ain't so long ago that they took that down, you know.
That was at Gardner.
Yeah, no, on this, here at the Duval.
At Duval.
There's one at Gardner. Then there was a branch at Gardner. Gardner, he wanted to make a school to make Vilat priests. And he got so far, and when he was pretty near finished, I guess the bishop cut him out. He was doing too many frauds in there, and he would. No, this is the way it went. He went to India to be ordained bishop, and if he would have got succeeded there, he would have thrown the one off in Fongelag out, and he would have taken his place. I think it's something like that.
He wanted to be bishop.
He wanted to be bishop. And I think he went to India to be ordained bishop there.
Whatever happened to him, do you know?
He died. I don't know if it's in Green Bay. No, I think it was in Gardner. But not too long ago, a few years ago, 10, 15 maybe. And he made up with the Catholic Church and then he died.
I see.
He went back to his religion and
Did you ever work outside the farm, Mr. Robson?
Only by boots and towels.
He was a cabinet maker.
Yeah.
The German cabinet maker.
And you couldn't find a job, no place then, you know. He was making a trailer for Dr. Duxbury, a dentist in Green Bay. And when I went in there, he says, "Do you think you can make something out of this?" I says, he had to make round corners on the top of his trailer, see. I says, "Sure." I says, "We can." We looked here, we get it. I said, "Take your time." He says, "Go at it." He says. So I finally showed him how to do it. We did it, and it worked. And he says, "You're going to stay here, you know." He says, "You ain't going home yet." He says, "I need you." He says, "I can use you all summer." "Oh no," I says, "the horses need me. In summer, I'm going back to the horses," I says. And I worked there, and then every once in a while, one or two days a week, he'd call me, ask me if I could go. And I went, and he was paying good money too, and at that time, you'd go work for a farmer 50 cents a day, you know, and work hard.
How much would he pay you?
Well, I was getting $2 an hour.
An hour?
An hour. And that was the biggest pay that could be gotten around town then.
And he was German?
He was a German. But I got along with him, you know. One of his men was German too, but with him I didn't like him. Boy, I told him once, I said, "That's for you." I said, "I wouldn't give 2 cents for you." He was a drunkard, you know, and always drunk. And when he was drunk, he was insulting and all kinds of stuff.
How did you meet your wife, Mr. Robson?
Oh, made our first communion, and we was at the well. And she was thirsty. She was waiting for the cup, and I had the cup. So I ran the cup off, and I filled it with water. I gave it to her. And after that, we started to look at each other more.
What was your first real date that you had with her? Do you remember? I think you told me you went to Green Bay, to Bay Beach Park.
That's when we had the car. But before I had the car, I'd go there once, a couple times a year, maybe in the summer. And we'd go to the Bay Shore. We sat there and talk. But our first date was when we went to Bay Beach.
How old were you when you married?
Well, I was pretty old. I was 25.
And she grew up near here at Champion, or?
By that old people's home there. That was their farm.
And she was Belgian too?
Yeah. Well, she was Belgian, but was a Flemish name. And the old man Van der Meulen was, but not her. Her grandmother was a regular Belgian name. But her grandfather was a Flemish.
Did you speak Walloon to each other here at home?
Oh, always.
Even recent years?
From the beginning till now. I was always talking about him.
How did you start corresponding with your relatives in Belgium, Mr. Robson?
Because, you gotta think. Somebody went there and said there was Robsons yet. And I tried to find out from the Robsons where Grandpa was born, but nobody knew. So I wrote to Belgium. And the burgomaster there referred me to a certain department, and that department told me to write to Milan that they should have the information I was looking for. Then they gave me a list of other Robsons that were supposed to be related. And then I wrote a letter once to Henry. It was at a telephone book, see. So I wrote a letter once to him. I asked him how everything was, and I told him who my grandpa was and where he was born. And could you find out if there's any of the family living yet? Because he had two brothers and his sisters. But he had two brothers and his sisters, but they all died before they came here. But I think it was diphtheria or something.
When you wrote to them, did you write to them in French? In English? They could read English.
Well, they'd have somebody read it, see.
I see.
And nowadays, lots of them can read it. Then I start, they mentioned a certain and certain, like when Alex died, well, they wrote me that Alex was died, he stayed 2 weeks without eating. He had cancer of the stomach, and there was no hope for him. So then I started to write to Alex, the family then. And Alex's family, well, there was three boys and a girl. And Marion, the oldest boy of Alex, he's got quite a family there. He's been married, I don't know if it's 10 or 12. He's got three set of twins.
Oh!
Three of them.
I think if I were him, I would stop while I were ahead, maybe. You must have a lot of children by now.
And four or five other children besides, you know. And Lisa Bouchette that told me, and she says, I'll be afraid to get married. He says, why? He says, Marion's got three set of twins. That doesn't mean anything, you know, I says. I'm a twin too, I says. And my wife was one, I says. And we got along real good together, you know, I says.
Were there any other twins in your family, and your cousins? No?
Well, and the cousins, they were. On my mother's side, each one of them got a twin. And Julia got a twin, Alice got a twin, my mother got a twin, Adele got a twin.
They say it runs in families.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Elsie was a twin also.
Elsie was a twin with a boy. But but he died when he was small.
And you and Elsie never had any children?
No.
So you lived here with your mother until she died?
Yeah.
Then how was the farm handled as far as your brothers? And
there was 440s. There was 27 acres here, 40 over there, and 40 over there, and then there was 58 of Teofil Robson's, which we bought out because he was bankrupt and we had enough money to buy it, see. So when my mother died, I took care of everything, and I paid the tax on everything. Like it had to be, you know. So nobody knew anything, and when my mother died, all we had to do was take our papers. Taxes were paid, and we could register, record them, you know. They were certified and everything. And so we had, each took a piece. And that was plenty for each of us. I took this farm. I was staying here, and on the other places there was no place to live, there was no buildings, you know. So I stayed here and I took this 27 acres with the barn, with the buildings.
Well, thanks again, Mr. Robson. We really appreciate your time and being so nice to talk to us.
Anytime you want.
Je savais même que quand je vous aurais dit bonsoir à tous, vous ne m'auriez pas répondu.
That's Robert Pinchini.
Je savais que vous aviez des bons frères en France et en Grèce, vous l'avez. Si vous avez des bons frères en Wallon, comme vous l'avez dit, vous n'êtes pas, mais ça ne rend jamais, vous me répondez. Vous l'avez dit. C'est madame. C'est mademoiselle. Et salut tous les copains. Salut Dama, elle m'a donné copain. C'est oublié, c'est peu, mais c'est pour moi. Yeah.